Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to look at some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan DeBurka Butler joins us once again. Jonathan, good
Sean,
afternoon.
How are you getting on?
We're going to the US for specifically Baltimore, where this teacher is accused of using AI to make his boss appear racist.
Yeah, so this is a case involving a 31-year-old sports director at the school, right?
Yeah.
Dajon Darian is his name. And himself and the principal of Pikesville High School, a man by the name of Eric Eiswert, were at odds over Darian's work performance, right? So this was a guy who, at the end of last year, got nearly $2,000 in order to pay a person who was going to come in and train the junior girls' football team, right?
Yeah.
And he apparently got someone, but that someone never turned up, or it might have been a relation. We don't know the details. Anyway, the money that was given to this person was never delivered on, shall we say, right?
Yeah.
And then there was another case where basically the principal, Eiswert, wasn't happy with the fact that this sports coach had gone ahead and fired another sports coach without telling him, right? So he had indicated that Dazon Darian's contract was possibly not going to be renewed next semester, or next term or whatever. And the sports coach wasn't particularly happy about that. So he decided to come up with this elaborate plan where he'd sort of launch a campaign against this principal, or allegedly, right? So what he did was he created an AI, a voice, and made a recording in which this particular principal was overheard dishing out racist abuse, anti-Semitic remarks, and it went out on social media. Now, I don't know if it went through this sports director's social media accounts or how it went out, but it went out and it spread.
Yeah.
And it caused untold problems, as you can imagine. So, I mean, there was hate-filled messages on social media. Eiswert's family were targeted, as you can imagine. The school was harassed and he eventually had to step down. Now, fairly early on in the investigation, we go back to the middle of January, the police kind of copped on that there might have been something else going on here, and the principal always maintained that the recording was fake, right? And so they got their experts in, and they said, okay, this is fake. And they went to arrest this sports director last Thursday. Now, the fact that he had gone to the airport and was trying to leave for another town at the time isn't going to help his cause much. But I think it's an interesting case, and it just goes to show, the potential of this and what it can do, and how much damage it can cause.
Yeah, it's interesting though that, I mean, I suppose if you know a lot about these things, you can tell if something is fake or not.
Mm.
But how they were able to trace it back to Darian as being the person who was behind that.
I'd say the fact that there was a kind of a vendetta between the two that was building anyway over that money, and the fact that he had fired the other coach, and the fact that the principal had said, well, I don't think we're going to renew your contract, probably put him in the prime position, shall we say.
Yes.
Of being the one suspected of doing this. But scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. I suppose kind of comforting in the way that you can say, if you know, say that's completely faked, whereas maybe 20 years ago, if you said that was fake, people would say, yeah, sure it is.
But well, now, indeed.
But now that idea is a bit more believable. Georgia, we're going to go to next where. Yes, and these are, explain what they mean by a foreign agent and this particular bill, and why it's so contentious in Georgia.
It's a good place to start. Yeah, this foreign agent bill, I think we actually might have mentioned it last year, because that's when the Georgian government tried to bring it in first and there was uproar over it, and they stood it down. Never explained really why they stood it down, but I'm sure they sort of said, well, we'll have to relook at this again, and they have. So they decided to reintroduce the idea of it at least in April. And then it was voted on in its second reading last Wednesday. It got through by 83 to 23. So the vast majority of Parliament were in favour of it. Now, what is it? Sorry, to answer your question. Mm. It's very simple. It's basically, under the proposals, NGOs and independent media would be required to register as organisations, quote, bearing the interests of a foreign power if they receive over 20% of their funding from foreign donors. Effectively, if you're the BBC and you have an outlet in Georgia, you're going to be getting most of your money from the UK, so they can basically say, okay, well, you have to declare foreign powers are influencing you or whatever, and we're allowed to go in, and you'll be monitored by the Justice Ministry. We'll compel you to share sensitive information. If you don't share it, you'll be fined. So an awful lot of pressure will be put on NGOs and independent media to play ball, I suppose, with the government, or at least that's what they think might happen, because they're saying there's a bill in Russia that was introduced in 2012, which is very similar to this, or at least the opponents of this bill say it's very similar. And they're saying, look, it's going to go that way, where you're not going to be able to have any independent media or any NGOs in the country at all.
And it's been noticeable that these protests, which have grown kind of a bit fractious and violent, the people protesting are carrying European Union flags. So is this kind of an East versus West battle that's been played, I suppose, in many countries?
Yeah, this is very interesting, because Georgia Dream, right, as a party, they're quite like Fianna Fáil.
Yeah,
they move and they shift a little bit, all right,
yeah,
I suppose. And it's hard to know. They would always say that they are not pro-Russian and they still want to go down that European Union route. And indeed, in December, they made the first step. They got candidate status, so they made the first steps towards that. And Georgia Dream have been in power since 2012. So they've never really deviated from that path. So I'm not 100% sure where this whole thing about them being anti-EU comes from. It is being latched on to, I think, by people who see it that way, and they're sort of saying, well, look, it doesn't comply with the values, let's say, of the European Union. And I think it would probably, if it went through, would probably stop them, or at least hold up their getting into the European Union. Certainly the European Union response to it has been, we don't really like this bill. You're risking getting into the European Union by putting it through, but they seem determined to do so.
Yeah, and also seems allied to a narrative we're hearing in many parts of the world that apparently everyone's got bored with George Soros now. He can't do everything, so now it's just NGOs. They're being run by Satan for the most part, and the same things seem to be said in Georgia as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing about it is that they're socially progressive in some sides of society, and on other sides they're not.
Yeah.
And specifically, this bill seems to be targeting NGOs around gay rights, for example. Yeah. Right. So they brought in a bill in 2014 against discrimination against LGBT people. Right. So that was fine. But then a couple of years ago, they basically put a block on gay marriage. So it's kind of like in this area, just as an example, right?
Yeah.
In this area, they kind of say, okay, we don't mind gay people. You can do whatever you want. Just kind of do it privately.
Okay.
Do you know that sort of way? So it's a kind of a funny sort of path that they, that this particular party, Georgia Dream, follow.
Right. Burkina Faso, we're going to go to next. I suppose a similar story. It's banning news outlets or more news outlets.
Yeah, this is far more sinister. So very briefly, you'll remember that there was a coup in September 2022. And there's been a military junta in place under Ibrahim Traore ever since then, right? And the reason the coup came about was because they were dealing with militants in the north of the country, of course, and the army there said the only way we can deal with this is by, you know, taking over the government. We'll give you back democracy when we have that sorted out.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't sorted it out, and the situation is getting worse. And the problem is that the armies, they're very far away from the capital as well. It's on sort of border country up in Mali, so they're can do what they want, and there's an awful lot of militias that are backed by the government here, and militias will often have people within them who have personal vendettas against people as well. Okay, and they have the excuse where they're saying, okay, well, some people in these villages are supporting these militants and we know they're being harbored in there, right? So what they'll do is they'll go in, they'll find, for example, in this case there was an attack that was done on the 25th of February where the army went into two villages and they killed 223 people, opened fire on them, and this was in retaliation for an attack that had been done on a military base. So it seems to have been done out of anger because their mates were all killed.
Yeah.
Okay. This was reported by Human Rights Watch. They went in and they were very diligent as always, got the reports and witness reports, and then it was re-reported by the BBC and various other outlets. So 15 media outlets and HRW, Human Rights Watch, have been banned from reporting now from Burkina Faso as a result of this.
Right.
It's a very bad path they're going down there. And you'd wonder, would other countries in the area possibly, you know, who are in a similar situation, will they follow the same path?
Yeah. Right, we're a bit short of time, so we'll just skip forward to that story from Cambodia.
Sure.
Because it's one of those you know, massive loss of life, and you never really hear about it in the world. So 20 people killed.
Yeah, 20 soldiers were killed at an army base. This was after an accident which was caused by mishandling of ammunition by troops. Now, we don't know whether these were young troops doing part of their military service or how it happened, but it seems to have been an accident. There was a mass funeral held on Sunday for those killed in the explosion. And unfortunately, we will only have a theory as to what happened, because all of the people who were unloading the ammunition are dead. But again, like you said, it's one of those stories, 20 people dead, and we really didn't hear that much about it in this media.
The next week or so, what should we look out for?
Yeah, Wednesdays are parliamentary elections in North Macedonia and presidential election there as well. Rishi Sunak will face PMQs tomorrow, the first one after the elections. He's been very low-key since then. Thursday, there's a huge general strike against those widespread cuts that Javier Milei is bringing in Argentina. Yeah. That'll be interesting as well. And then on Sunday, very poignant, very sad, Madeleine McCann should be celebrating her 21st birthday this Sunday.
But my word. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks,
as ever. Jonathan DeBarca-Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.